Jeremiah chapter 17 this morning. It's an interesting and different place to start, huh? 17. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah was called the crying prophet, so. He cried for Israel because they didn't believe. They didn't listen to God. So chapter 17, verse 5, we're going to start. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." When it says here, "and maketh flesh his arm," that means makes flesh his strength, you know, his defense, his, you know, because when it says sometimes God bears his arm for his people, it means he's strong on their behalf. So, "Cursed is the man that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited." A heath is a, it grows in the desert, and it's eaten quickly by the wild goats when it comes up. That's what, I have a note on it. So, short-lived. Then it says in verse 7, but, it says in verse 7, in contrast to the man that's like heath in the desert who's departed from God, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be like, or as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." So, that's pretty straightforward. That's a comparison of, you know, if you put your trust in flesh, if you put your trust in the worldly things, or if you put your trust in God. I'm going to read you something that Dr. Worrell wrote, and he did this in a teaching about this section in Jeremiah. He says, "What a contrast. On the one hand is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. On the other hand is the man who trusts in God, and he is like a tree planted by the waters. For the most part today, man's believing is in man, and they honor man with their lips. Their confession is not that the word of God is truth, but that man and his word, rather than the word of God, are truth. Thus they honor God with their lips, but they trust in the arm of flesh with all their heart. Mental assent to the truth of God's word is perhaps the most dangerous enemy that the Christian can have, because mental assent looks and sounds so religious. The mental assentor never literally acts on God's word. They do not give God's word its rightful place. They merely talk." Then it goes on. Okay? So mental assent is the Christian's, could be, or maybe the Christian's greatest enemy. In the sense that sometimes we think we're doing what we're supposed to do and we're really not. We get lulled into a sense of false security, or we get talked out of things, or we compromise a little bit here and a little bit there, and then all of a sudden we're nowhere near what the Word of God says. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going to see Jesus Christ deal with a man. And, you know, when you mentally assent, you don't act literally upon the word. You may, there's many places in the Word of God where God speaks of man honoring him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And, you know, that's not where we want to be, is it? But if we're not diligent in our lives, then we can get to that place. If we're not diligent in keeping our heart where it belongs, where if we're not diligent and saying what the Word says and acting on the Word and doing what the Word says to do, we can get tricked out of it. So John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." And of course, when there was a feast, There were the three main feasts in the Jewish religion, and each feast was a week long, and the males were supposed to go to Jerusalem at the time of the feast. And because Jesus Christ always had to fulfill the law and keep the law, he would be there at the time of the feast. So now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Porches means arches. Here were arches, you know, five arches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered. The rest of the verse is added, and the next two verses are actually added. I don't know, it's, you know, they're waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season, and this is all supposition or legend. It wasn't, you know, necessarily true, but, you know, it's like, what's the Rosetta Stone? Not the Rosetta Stone. What's the stone where everybody goes to touch it that they get healed? There's a stone, or Lourdes, where the water is, where people think if they get to the water, they'll get healed. It's one of those things. And verse 5, it says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. So for 38 years, this guy was lame. He had an infirmity. He was not doing well. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. They believed that whoever got in the water first, when the water was troubled or moved, he would be healed. And even in the East today, people think that waters are holy. And like, for instance, in India, they'll go to the river Ganges, or people will go to the River Nile or places just because they think it's healing. They're holy rivers. They're special rivers. And so they would do that with other places also, and this is one of those places where they thought that. The impotent man answered him, sir, if I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. He kind of ignored what the guy said.
Right.
You know, he had nothing to do with water. Rise up and take thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And then it goes on and talks about Jesus Christ and the Pharisees. But what did this guy do, literally?
Believed.
He acted on the word that Jesus Christ told him. You know, he was made whole, and he got up and he carried his bed and went away. And there are numerous incidents like this in the Word of God, and especially in the Gospels, where Jesus Christ would tell somebody to do something and they would obey and they would act and they would get healed. You know, there was the blind man, and he put mud on his eyes and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the guy did it and he got healed. There's other times when he told other people to do certain things and they got healed. They acted literally on the word of God. In the Old Testament, Elisha told Naaman to go wash in the pool in the river Jordan seven times. And when his servant convinced him that that was a smart thing to do, he did it and he got healed of leprosy. You know, you have to act upon the word of God literally. You know, one time they needed money and Peter said, we have no money. And Jesus Christ said, go put your hook in the water and catch a fish, and there was a coin in the fish's mouth. And they paid their bill. Pretty crazy. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. I think we looked at this verse recently, but we're going to look at it again because it's such a great verse. Verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord. With what?
All thine heart.
And you know, that sometimes is a difficulty for us. You know, we want to trust in God. We want to believe God. And by the way, the word trust here, the Hebrew word, is equivalent to the word believe in Greek. It means to believe. Believe means what? To act literally upon. To, you know, have confidence and rely and to just It's the truth, and I'm doing it. You know, we do that in so many areas of life in the physical realm. We do it when we sit on a chair. We do it when we write a check. We do it when we put the key in the car and start the ignition. You know, we just believe it's going to work, and you know, we turn on a light switch. And when it doesn't work, we're surprised, aren't we? We're shocked. Why didn't that work? What's wrong? What the hell's going on here? You know. Well, how about God? We should be surprised if we won't be surprised, but we should be surprised if we don't believe and act upon God's word and see it come to pass. And if we think we're believing and it's not coming to pass, what do we check?
Ourselves,
our heart. You know, it says, trust in the Lord, believe in the Lord, Jehovah, with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. So, you know, God is an expert not just in healing. Healing of the heart, healing of the mind, healing of the body, healing spiritually, but he is an expert in finances. He is an expert in how to work. He's an expert in how to deal with people. He's an expert in business. He's an expert in marriage. He's an expert in raising kids. He's an expert in farming. He's an expert in everything because he invented everything. So in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And if you're not, then what are you not doing? You're not believing. You're not trusting him. I heard another great, Jean Marie and I, we heard another great teaching about, you know, it talks about when you pray, believe. You know, sometimes we pray for stuff and then something comes along and we don't check back with God. You know, you pray for something. You pray for a job and then a job comes along. Well, it'd be a good thing to check with God to see if this is the job that he really wants you to take. Because, you know, sometimes it's not. You pray for a house and then you get the house or you can get this house. The house comes along. Maybe it's not the right house. How about checking with God to say, okay, God, is this a go or a no? You know? God should be the final decider of the things that we do. You know, we can be doing God's will in every aspect and detail of our lives. Pretty simple. So then it says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And I thought of Greg Earle's teaching at family camp when he talked about being humble. You know, be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, because really we are pretty stupid. We don't really know a whole lot, and God does. So, you know, we should be looking to God. And certainly look to his word. If his word doesn't have the answer, then he has to give you the answer some other way, doesn't he? But we should be looking to God for the answers and looking to God to see what it means. So that Hebrew word, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, means to believe, to be secure without fear. You know, believing gets rid of fear, doesn't it? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. You know, and none of us, no matter how long you've been in the Word, how much of the Word you know, none of us is immune to mental assent. You know, there's no immunity to it. The only thing that keeps mental assent out of your life is diligence with the Word of God. You know, because otherwise it just, you know, you think, well, I show up to fellowship, I read the Bible, I pray. That doesn't mean that you're believing, does it? It just means you're doing stuff. Doing stuff is great, but doing stuff with believing is what makes the difference. You know, God wants you to be in fellowship, to come to fellowship with other believers. But he wants you to come with believing. You know, he wants you to, you know, pray. He wants you to pray, but he wants you to pray how? With believing. You know, He wants you to ask him, but he wants you to ask him with believing and acknowledge him with believing. And sometimes we just forget and we just do it for the sake of doing it. Okay, what did I say? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. It's kind of funny. Verse 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. That's a pretty straightforward statement, isn't it? He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. You know, he that does right according to God's word, keeps God's word there, he'll flourish. You know, there is no true security. There's no absolute guarantees of anything in life. None. You know, no matter what you, no matter, you know, you can use good sense and you can use your, there's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with doing stuff. There's nothing wrong with having a savings account. There's nothing wrong with having an insurance policy. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But if that's what you're depending on, then it's wrong. See? I mean, it's good to have those things. It's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're supposed to be believing God. So that's what gives you the freedom in your mind and in your heart to live life joyously and without fear, is that you're believing God. See? Because if those things aren't there, God's still God, isn't he? God's still God. And God will take care of you if you allow him. Let's go to Proverbs 16. Verse 20. It says, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Happy is he. You know, so many times we allow people to determine our happiness, don't we? We, you know, people and situations determine our happiness. Well, you know, regardless of what people do, we can determine whether we're going to be happy or not if we trust in God. Whether my kids believe or don't believe, whether they call me or don't call me, if I trust God, I can be blessed. Where are we? Verse 20, verse 28. Let's see, what else does it say there? 16. Did I read the right verse? 16?
You said the right verse, but I don't think...
20, but what did I read?
20.
Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord.
Happy is he.
Oh. I did?
Uh-oh. I thought it was, he that handled the matter wisely shall find.
Oh, and who trusts in the Lord is happy as he. Okay, the first part of the verse screwed me up there. Okay, let's go to 28. Proverbs is full of this kind of stuff. And you know, Proverbs is written... And although it's in the Old Testament and some of it pertains to Israel, it's not really written to Israel per se. It's written to people to live life practically. It's, you know, to young people on how to live. And, you know, in God's eyes, we're young. Chapter 28, verse 25, it says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. We don't want to be fat. That's not what it means, does it? It means prosperous, blessed. Then verse 26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You know, there's a lot of stuff in Proverbs about wisdom. But it's all in relationship to God and his word. You know, when it talks about being wise, it's talking about applying God's word in your life. And, you know, we always said that wisdom is knowledge applied, but it's really the knowledge of God rightly applied or correctly applied. You know, you can apply all kinds of knowledge and not have wisdom. Okay, let's go to chapter 29. Verse 25, the fear of a man bringeth a snare. That's a pretty good one. Many of us learned that one or knew that verse years ago. The fear of a man bringeth a snare. You know, if you have real fear in your life, it does what? It binds you up. It restricts your life. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what?
Safe.
Yeah. So, trusting in the Lord, believing in God. You could say it different ways, but it's all having to do with the same thing, isn't it? Let's go to Jeremiah again, chapter 7. Now, Jeremiah is cool because it's God's word, number one. But number two, what's it dealing with? Well, Jeremiah was a prophet, not a bullfrog. He was a prophet, and he was sent to Israel, and he had to deal with Israel, or Judah, actually, in tough times. And it was when, you know, he lived through the period of a couple of different kings, and they were pretty rotten kings, and, you know, God sent him to bring Judah back to his word, to straighten him out if he could. But within that, he kept telling him, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to suffer some consequences. Turn back to God, you know, you're going to get conquered, you're going to be enslaved, you're going to be taken away in captivity, you're going to lose everything that you have. So that's kind of the context of Jeremiah, and it goes through the whole book. And we'll just look at a few verses in chapter 7 because it's pretty interesting. It says, the word of the Lord, verse 1, the word of the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, so Jeremiah is doing what? He's getting revelation. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he says, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. That's, you know, the entranceway into the courtyard of the temple. He's saying, stand in the gate of the temple and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Now, this is pretty interesting because where are these people going?
Maybe
they're going into the temple and they're going to worship the Lord. But even though they're doing this, they're not really right with God, are they? Because he sent in Jeremiah to talk to him. So they look good, don't they? They're acting cool. They're acting religious. They look great. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. What does amend mean?
Change.
Change. Change your ways and your doings. You know, change what you're doing. Pretty cool. Then he says in verse 4, trust ye not in lying words. Now, you know, sometimes lying words sound really good, don't they?
Yeah.
You ever see, what's that, you see all these advertisements for financial things, and the one, Fidelity, they have the green path. Mm-hmm. If you follow the green path, all your dreams are going to come true. And you're going to grow old and you're going to be able to travel and do this and do that and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Well, it may be a good idea. They may be good at what they do, but that's not the end all or the answer to everything, is it? You know, if you had a choice between tithing and fidelity, the right choice would be, duh. Just saying. Okay. Trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. It's kind of a bad translation, but what it's saying is, oh, we go to fellowship, man. We go to fellowship. We love the word. We go to fellowship. You know, we're God's people. That's what they're saying. You know, like they just thought they were cool because they were doing things, but they were doing them without believing. They were doing them to look good, not because they loved God. For if ye truly amend your ways, and you're doing, now he's emphasizing it, isn't he? You know, you got to really amend, you got to really change. Where do they really have to change? In their hearts. They have to really change in their hearts. He says, for if ye truly amend your ways and your doings, if ye truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Wow. You know, did they just screw up all of a sudden?
No.
Or did it just kind of creep into their lives? You know, and that happens to us sometimes. You know, we just say, well, I can, you know, I'm praying. But are you praying with believing? Are you really putting your heart into praying for things and for people? You know, you have an opportunity to speak the word and you think, well, I don't have time to speak the word. Boy, that person really has a need, but I don't think I can afford to help them. You know, I don't have the time to help them. You know, okay, so anyway, God says, you know, if you amend your ways, I will cause you to dwell in this place, the land I gave your fathers forever and ever. Now, obviously, our lives are a little different from these guys because we're not in the promised land and we have Holy Spirit and we're God's children and he loves us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. However, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do with believing, we're not going to see the blessings of God in our lives, are we? You know, our lives, and you got to check, and I think about this sometimes because I think, man, I could do so much better than I do. I can do so much better than I do. And our lives are supposed to be dynamic.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes my life is dynamic, but then other times, it's just, okay, it's nice. But it should be dynamic all the time. We should be having a great time in life. I'm not saying you're never going to have difficulties, you know. My wife has gone through great difficulties last month, but, you know, you keep plugging along, you keep believing God, you keep praying, and you get through it because of the promises of God, right? Yeah, Kathy, you're going to get through all this stuff. It's going to be great. And we're all going to heaven, so what the heck? But, you know, we want to see things happen in light. We want to see God's word live in our lives. And that's up to you. You have to put it in your heart, and you have to say, I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to believe. I'm going to get my heart with God. Then it says, verse 8, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. You know, and lots of times we do. We fall into the trap of worldly wisdom, of thinking, you know, this is the answer. Again, you know, it's not wrong to do certain things and be smart and do the best you can. But God is first. You know, God is first. God's going to take care of you. God will bless you if you put him first. If you do God's word, God's way. You know, we did that thing in the married couples, you know, and I taught on grace. And we're to love one another. We're to extend favor towards one another, regardless of whether the other person deserves it or not. We extend favor. That's believing, isn't it? We do what God says. We're to be imitators of God. Well, what? Did we deserve anything? We didn't deserve dirt.
We still don't.
Yeah, we still don't. But God keeps extending that favor towards us. That's the way it should be. Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? And you know, we know that other gods can be all kinds of things. You know, when we let things come between us and God, then it becomes an idol, doesn't it? And come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. You know, in other words, they were going to the temple. They were burning incense. They were observing the holy days. They were doing, you know, this and that. And they said, well, we're cool, so we can do stupid stuff. It's like today, people will do something. They say, well, it's grace. You know, was grace ever a reason to sin? No, God forbid, it says in Romans. But that's what these guys were saying. They say, well, we're going to the temple. We're throwing in our two shekels. We're observing this. We're, you know, giving our sacrifices. So we're covered. But they weren't doing it with believing. You know, they forgot the first and great commandment. Okay. So they believed lies, and they lied to themselves. They lied to themselves. Is this house, verse 11, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. You know, where to do God's word?
24/7.
Yeah, regardless of the situation around us. You know, if other people aren't doing it, that's not an excuse why we shouldn't. You know, if other people aren't walking in love, that's no reason why we shouldn't walk in love. You know, if other people aren't believing, that's no reason why we shouldn't believe. Okay, so if we believe God with all our heart, He will direct our paths. God's concern is always about two relationships, our relationship with Him and our relationship with one another. And they were blowing it in both counts. You know, they weren't believing God, and then they were doing other stuff, and they were lying to themselves because they were doing all the religious things and the things that look good. You know, when we put God in our hearts, when we're trusting God with all our heart, then we can truly serve Him. We can truly bless others. We can see great things happen in our lives. Let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Verse 36, which you've all seen many times, but never hurts to look at it again. Pharisee came up, he was a lawyer, and he said, Master, which is the great commandment? The Lord Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And hang means to depend on. Or, you know, nothing. If you don't do these two things, it doesn't matter what else you do. If you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself, it doesn't matter what you do. And that's what they missed in Jeremiah. They were doing all kinds of cool things. Then love God with all their mind, heart, soul, mind, strength, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. So all the rest of it was a waste of time. Let's go to Luke. You know, too many times people look, and I'm not saying you do, I have at times, I can admit it, but sometimes we look for reasons, loopholes, excuses not to believe. You know? You ever look for a loophole? You know, like you look for loopholes when you do your taxes. You know, how can I get out of paying this? Or, but you know, sometimes we look for loopholes and not believe in God. Well, that guy, I don't want to have to deal with him. What do you mean? Love thy neighbor as thyself. We should be looking for excuses and reasons to believe. How can I do more? How can I give more? How can I bless more? How can I pray more? How can I teach somebody the word more? We should be looking to believe God more, not less. We should be looking for reasons to do, not to do. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Luke. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret, which I think is also the Sea of Galilee. It had different names depending on where you lived, you know, what side of the lake you lived. If you lived in Galilee, it was the Sea of Galilee. If you lived in somewhere else, it was Lake Gennesaret. If it was somewhere else, it was something else. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, he already knew Simon and his brother and John and James, because they were all, it's not like the first time he ever met them. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out. So he taught the people, and when he was done teaching, he said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let your nets, plural, for a draught, or draft, like to troll. You know what a troll is? When they troll for fish, they drag the fish the nets along and gather up all the fish that are there. That's what they do. Okay. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So, what's he doing? He's looking for a reason not to really believe. He's not acting literally on the word of God. He's being a mental assentor. He's faking it. He's going through the motions. He's looking good. He's pushing the boat out a little ways. He's going to throw a net out. But he says, we've been fishing all night. We're experts. And we know, and we haven't caught anything all night. And this is a waste of my time. That's what he's doing. And when they had done this, or had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. That's a catch.
Yeah. That's what he said was going to happen.
And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He said, I'm really stupid. And he was, because he didn't listen to God. But, sometimes we just think we're so smart and we have the answers and that's not going to really work. But that's not the way it really is. It's not the way it is. We believe God. God will. We got to hang in there and stick with it. You got to be tough on the Word of God. And I remember Dr. Worrell used to say, it's the Word, it's the Word, it's the Word. And he'd say, I have no friends when it comes to the Word. And you know what? Sometimes it's a hard thing. But when it comes to the Word, it's the Word. Word's bigger than people. It's bigger than friendships. It's bigger than anything. Because it's God's Word. Let's go to Psalm 9. We're going to close here. We're just going to look at a couple of verses. A couple of dozen is all I have. And it's pretty cool. This is a Psalm of David. And it says in verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. With how much heart?
Whole heart.
How much are we to trust God? With all our heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. That's pretty good. David was pretty great, wasn't he? He didn't always do perfectly. He screwed up on occasion. He made mistakes. He made some doozies. But he came back and he put his whole heart into God. When he was wrong, he said, man, I'm wrong. And then he went right back to believing God. That's what he did. He didn't let it destroy his life. He just said, okay, I'm wrong. He took his medicine and he moved ahead. Psalm 34. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I read this and I think, I don't do that. His praises are not continually in my mouth, meaning, I'm not thinking about God all the time and praising him. But that's the standard. that I should try to attain to. You know, I should try to, you know, I try to think about God as much as I can. My soul shall make boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, we do things in life and people say, boy, that was a great job. Well, God. You know, God helped me with it. It's all about God. I just did what I'm supposed to do. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him or respect him and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. That's what he says. So if there's want, what's going on?
Not trusting God.
You know, got to examine what you're doing and figure out where your heart is. Let's go to Psalm 37. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. You ever run into evildoers in your life? You gotta, because they're everywhere. My wife was telling me about one the other day that just gave her a hard time. And fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, sometimes people look so good. Around, you see these wacky people of the world, but they look so cool. They have so much. It says, be not envious of them. Verse 7. Well, no, we're going to go all the way through here. Okay. It says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Then it says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So the first thing he says is trust in the Lord and do good. So, you know, trust in the Lord and do good means to do what? Do his word. Do what he would want you to do. And what will happen? You'll dwell in the land and be fed. Then it says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Then it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also on him, and he shall bring it to pass. So we have trust, delight, commit. And then it says in verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Then it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, so trust, delight, commit, and rest, and cease. All those things. And when you do those things, good things happen. When you do what God tells you. So we are to trust in the Lord and do good. We'll dwell in the land, be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart or the petitions of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring things to pass. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And so on and so forth. Great stuff. Let's go to 119. We're going to, or 112. 112. I got two more. We could do all of Psalms, but Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed the man that feareth God, that has great respect and awe for the Lord, Jehovah, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Blessed is the man, happy is the man. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Let's go to verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed. I'm not giving in on God's word. I'm not going to give on God's word. I'm going to do what God's word says. Sometimes we're not fixed. We're just Well, I don't have to do that. I'm too tired today. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desires upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. So some great promises by God. Let's go to 119. Last verse. Not necessarily the least, but the last. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him. Oh, Psalm 119, verse 2.
You made it sound like it was the last verse,
176. Oh, no. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. So, you know, we're not to just give lip service to God. We're not to go through the motions, but we're to do it with believing, with a whole heart. We have to be strong in the word. We have to be established in the word, and we have to be looking to do God's word to the best of our ability. And when we do those things, we're going to see great things happen in our lives. You know, we can do. We can live great lives. We can see great things happen. We can see the Word of God living and real if we put our heart into it. Okay? So, God bless. Amen.
Abundant sharing.
Abundant sharing.